nurse, social worker, work in the medical field? Do you have to bear bad news? If you're a teacher, an accountant, if you do taxes, do you have to sometimes bear bad news? If you are a parent, do you sometimes have to bear bad news to your children? If you're an electrician, plumber, carpenter, landscape, do you sometimes have to bear bad news? And people who hear it might feel at the moment, you're being what? Mean. But you do it because you want to be truthful, amen? And you want to help the situation. And you want to let that person know that you care so much that you're willing to put them in a little bit of uncomfort, letting them know, hey, you need to change things or else it's not going to look good for you. You'll have Uncle Sam sending you a letter. Not this Uncle Sam. Yes, get everything in order. And God works in the same way. In the Old Testament, the New Testament, He's the same God. And last week we shared these passages from Ezekiel 8:23, where God says, "Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die?" says the Lord God. "And not that he should turn from his ways and live." Ezekiel 33:11. God speaking to his prophets, "Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel?" As if God is pleading for his people, "You're going the wrong way. There's a ditch, a big one. It can take your life." In the New Testament, we find 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is patient, long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Amen? And maybe many of you can relate to Jonah. How many of you like to bear bad news? Parents, do you like to bear bad news on your children? Spouses, do you like to bear bad news to your family? I think we can relate to Jonah. When God was telling Jonah, "Jonah, go and tell Nineveh." And I can imagine Jonah was not happy about the task. I know there's some people who like to tell bad news. CBS News, ABC News, Fox News. In fact, they make a lot of money telling bad news. We're watching it every day going, "Wow, what's going to happen next?" And I admit it, at one point I was also very happy to tell bad news on my sister. Yes, I admit it. Now, I admit it because she got me into trouble more times than I got her into trouble. "Mom, yes, look what Sam is doing." I like, "Don't say anything, please. I'm going to tell on you." So whenever, once in a blue moon, she would do something that, "Oh, Mom." But when it comes to friends, neighbors, we were more cautious. And I think growing up, what we've come to understand is that When we point one finger, how many are pointing back to us? Three. And we all feel maybe inadequate to go and tell someone, you're doing this wrong, when I might be doing the same thing. But the Bible invites us to say what God tells us to say. Amen? And I believe there's a purpose why God uses human beings to proclaim the gospel message. That includes judgment. Fear God, give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who created the heavens and the earth. Why would God use you and me, as imperfect as we are? Why would he want us to proclaim this message? And I believe as we study Jonah chapter 3 and 4, we will find out that God not only wants to save the Ninevites, but he wants to also save the Jonites. Amen? All of us who are proclaiming this message, he's saying, share it, say it, believe it, live it. Nineveh was a pretty bad country. We know, we've heard that some of the bad things that they did, but between the years 783 and 746 BC, which was approximately the time of King Jeroboam II, king of Israel, time where Israel prospered militarily, economically, and just they extended their borders like never before. Assyria, on the other hand, was suffering from severe famine, internal upheavals, and they were just struggling as a nation. In fact, between 850 and 750, this was Assyria right there. That was it. Babylon was in the south, Persia, east. On the west, you have Samaria, capital of Israel, and Jerusalem, capital of Judah. And it was struggling. They had gone to some of the neighboring countries trying to gain more territory, but failed miserably. In fact, it's a time where not a lot of kings write what they did, even though it was a civilization that documented everything from laws to history, religious beliefs. They would chisel it out on stone or put it on clay tablets, and today we have the opportunity to know a lot about them. But it was after the year 750, after Jonah had preached to Nineveh, that the Assyrian Empire became great and powerful. In fact, there were 4,500,000 people removed from their homeland. That's the time when Israel was conquered, and they were spread out all over the Assyrian kingdom. And just 4 million of them between the years 745 and 681. These are the kings that did this, kings of Assyria, kings that appear in the book of Jeremiah, Isaiah, and other books of the Bible. So this is more what their kingdom came to look like. They went all the way down to Egypt, conquered Egypt, all of Palestine, and all this region. They became powerful. Are they God's people too, brothers and sisters? Assyrians that believe in many gods, like Hadad, like Ishtar of Nineveh. Are they God's people? They are. So I invite you to open your Bibles with me and look what Jonah chapter 3 tells us about this incredible time. A time that God called his servant Jonah a second time. Verse 1 tells us, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, quickly, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Go again and preach what I tell you. Did Jonah obey this time? He did. In fact, he quickly got up and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. Nineveh the city, but there was also Nineveh the district. Yes, a day's journey in those times was 17 miles. That was a day's journey. So he was to preach not only to the city of San Diego, but also to the county of San Diego. Correct. That was a lot of territory. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. So I can imagine after 17 miles of going, preaching, he entered the center of the city. And who is usually in the center of the city? Government, yes. I can imagine all the religious temples are there as well. All the important people are there. And verse 4 tells us, that he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. How many of you would like sermons to be that short? 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Amen. We can all go now. Yes? That was his message. A very simple, clear message. 40 days. What would you do in 40 days if you only had 40 days? Have you ever received that kind of news? Or a friend or relative? 40 days. That's it. Would you work more? Would you go on a vacation? Would you visit family? Would you call your friends? 40 days! Would you read your Bible more? Would you pray more? 40 days. Nineveh will be overthrown. And if Jonah was surprised the way God saved him, providing, preparing a great fish, wow. In his greatest moment of need as he was sinking to the bottom of the sea, boy, was he going to be surprised for what happened next. If you go to Jonah chapter 3, and I believe verse, is it 4 or 5? 5, thank you. I just misplaced my page here, but I'll get there. Jonah chapter 3, verse 5 tells us, so the people of Nineveh cut Jonah's head off. They put him in prison. They stoned him. Isn't that what happened to all the prophets when they went to Israel? Boy, they got stoned. They got their head chopped off. They got put into prison. They suffered. Jeremiah was up to here, and I'm not going to tell you what, but he was just, put him in a pit. The Bible tells us, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Amen? What? The heathen? The unfaithful? The idolatrous? The murderers, robbers. We know all the things that they do. They're known for being cruel to their neighbors and just being obnoxious and hateful. But Jonah chapter 3 tells us, so the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. The word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. He basically stepped down. He said, whoa, we're in trouble. 40 days. He took off his royal robe. He put on also sackcloth and sat in ashes and in sign of humility, saying, well, what must we do? And he brought all his royal court and in his counselors and said, what must we do? And they proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his noble sayings. Let neither man or beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Not only human beings are going to fast, but we're going to have our pet dog, our pet cat, they're fasting too. They're going to be destroyed too. If we're destroyed, they're going to be destroyed too. We're going to have the mule, the cow, the sheep not taste any food or water. Let every man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them cry mightily to God. Have you ever cried mightily to God? And here literally it's saying scream to God. Let him scream. Yes, let every man turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. The decree said, who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Is our God a merciful God? Is our God a gracious God? Compassionate, long-suffering. Exodus 34, verse 5 and 6, when Moses said, God, show me who you are. We've talked, we've discussed things and everything, but tell me who you are. And God said, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for a few, for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, yes, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. If you ever have an opportunity to go to Paris, go by the Louvre Museum. Or if you ever have the opportunity to go to England, London, go to the British Museum. In fact, the British Museum is free. Yes, you heard me right. It's free. You can go in for free. Those statues, incredible sculptures, incredible historians, incredible scientists, engineers, the things that they built and did, incredible. Yes, Nineveh, the city of Nineveh was in trouble, but praise God that they believed in him. Amen? Verse 10 tells us, then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented. Some versions translate, and God repented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. You would think Jonah is now super happy. He just did an evangelistic campaign for 3 days, preached the shortest sermon ever preached, and 100% baptism, Dan. Woo! Can you imagine that? Short, to the point, and 100% conversion. Wow! Jonah must have been super happy. Was he? And that's what, let's see what Jonah chapter 4 tells us. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he became angry. He was so angry, he prayed. Have you ever been so angry that you pray? He was really living it. And he said, Lord, was not this that I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Amen? That's God. One who relents from doing harm. So what was his request? Therefore now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Have you ever been there? I've been there. I've been, oh no, this is so difficult, I wish. Why me, Lord? Have you ever said that prayer? Poor me, Lord. No one is suffering like me. And then God is really kind to Pastor Sam, and he says, Pastor Sam, what do you think of my servant Paul? What do you think of my servant Peter? What do you think of my servants who were missionaries and gave their life, everything they had, in different continents? I go, God, I'm not suffering anything. I have a roof over my head, amen? I have a car that moves back and forth, amen? Got me here this morning, wow. It was raining this morning, it was pouring. 2 accidents on the 15. I was going up the 52, and if you ever go to East County, San Diego, and you're coming to the 15 on the 52, it's uphill. And as I was coming this morning, the only thing I could see was red little lights. I said, oh, no. Time to do a detour, right? Turn around and take another route. Our challenges, our difficulties. Brothers and sisters, I've noticed, at least for me, are opportunities for me to know God in a different way. Amen? And to come and to dialogue with him and to challenge him and to question. Yes, ask him questions. And praise God that God's men also ask questions. Amen? And God also asks questions. And he's willing to wrestle with us with some of the difficulties that we as human beings experience here on earth and don't have the answers. We don't. But God is willing to listen to us. Amen? And share with us, hey, what's your situation? Why are you so upset? Why are you so distraught? This is what had happened. If we go to verse 5, why was Jonah so angry, so upset? He said, Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made a shelter that sat under it in the sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. What was Jonah waiting for? Does anybody know? He was waiting for some incredible fireworks. Yes. He's like, wow, I'm going to see God's power now fall upon this evil city. I've told them 40 days and I'm going to watch it. But God had something else in plan. Amen? Are you amazed of how God plans things, brothers and sisters? I am. I am. And personally, I just see how God leads and moves. And I go, God, you know what's best. Verse 6 tells us the Lord God prepared. And this verb appears several times in this section here. He prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. Oh, Jonah was so happy. He tells us here. He was just thrilled. Oh, I got this plant growing above. It protects me from the heat of the day. Oh, this is so great, so beautiful. But verse 7 tells us, as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. And I want to think it's a tiny little worm that was going to save Jonah again. First time God prepared a big fish. Now he prepares a little worm. And it so damaged the plant that it withered. It died. And it happened when the sun rose that God prepared an east wind. And it says a great east wind. Now we're here in California, we can relate. What happens when east wind hits us? It's hot. It's extremely hot when it's blowing from the east. Same for Jonah. In fact, he tells us that the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. God spoke to Jonah, asked him the question, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And how did Jonah answer? He said, it is right for me to be angry even to death. Can we adults also throw a tantrum? We don't change much, do we, as human beings? He was having his moment. And praise God for his patience. Amen? This is incredible how God answers these two last verses, revealing who he is. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 people who cannot discern between their right hand and their left and much livestock? Jonah, you're upset, I can see. In fact, you must be in pain because of your plant died. I can remember when one of my first pets died. I had these two little parakeets, and we were traveling as from one place to another. I think it was from Florida this time to Michigan. They were in our back seat there. We were in this huge station wagon. Yes, yellow one. And when I looked back and looked inside the cage, I could just see him lying there. That was painful. I can see, I saw my dad with tears in his eyes, my mom, my sister, we were like, wow, it didn't make it. Sin is something terrible, isn't it, brothers and sisters? It hurts. It pains us. And God says to Jonah, if you have compassion for a plant, should I not have compassion for people? 120,000 of them that don't know what is right from what is wrong. My question for you, who was God trying to save? Was he trying to save only the Ninevites? Was he also trying to save Jonah? Amen? Could it be, brothers and sisters, that God has given us this incredible message to share to the world? Yes, not very popular. Yes, some of them might feel like we're stepping on their toes. They get uncomfortable. Some of them might think like, wow, you are being super judgmental right now and critical to me. Can you see it hurts what you're saying? But what God says in his word, is it something we should believe? Is it something we can trust? Is it something that we can, by God's grace, do? It's possible. Yes? God says, love me, love God, and love your neighbor as yourself. Is that something that is doable, brothers and sisters? And could it be that God is giving us this message to take to Nineveh because he wants to save Samuel Nunez, amen? And he knows that's probably the only way he's going to get Samuel Nunez even interested in knowing God more. Now, did he give this task, this responsibility only to pastors? Pastor Harper, is that something only we can do? We can share. Or the elders, is that something only elders and pastors, deacons and deaconesses, Sabbath school teachers? Or is that something that God has called us all to do? Yes? All of us? How about you? You have to be a certain age. Children, you have to be at least 17 years old to share Jesus with someone else. Is that what the Bible says? The Bible says that we can all share. Amen? Linda, thank you for reminding us that children can also share the gospel in a mighty, powerful way. And if God invites us to share, it's because he's gracious and compassionate and long-suffering and patient time and time again. Amen? Is that a message that we can share to the world today? Is that something we want to see? Can we share that with one another too? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his mercies. Praise the Lord for Jesus. And there's a quote or a verse. I have the pointer here that I want to just finish off with. Matthew 12:41. Luke 11:32. This is Jesus in his time, and I believe it applies to us today too. Jesus said, the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here. Did Jesus come to this world to preach salvation? Did they believe him? The majority did not believe him. It's Jesus inviting us to preach the same gospel. Amen? And I believe the only way we can do this effectively, the only way we can do this in a loving, caring way is if we have his Holy Spirit. Amen? Is that something we can pray for as a church? Especially as we prepare next Sabbath for communion. I believe, brothers and sisters, that we are being called like Jonah. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be comfortable. But praise the Lord for every person who accepts Jesus, yes? And makes a decision to follow him. What an opportunity. What a privilege to be able to serve a God of second opportunities. Amen. I invite the congregation to stand as we sing our closing hymn, Jesus Saves, hymn number 340, two stanzas only. And I'm going to invite Pastor Greg Harper and his wife Allison to join me afterwards at the door so we can all greet them and welcome them to our Fallbrook Church family. Have heard spread the gladness all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hear the mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege to be able to share the good news of salvation. Father, we thank you for Jesus and for his willingness to come to Nineveh and not only proclaim a powerful message, but to give his life for Ninevites like us. And Father, we implore, we cry out to you. May you pour your Holy Spirit upon each individual here so that we may go out and share the good news that we have received with others and let them know that there is hope, that Jesus is coming. And when we see the things that we are watching, we know your coming is near. We ask your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.